What we're gonna do right here is go back, way back, back into time.
This is Butch Slaughter, and you're listening to the Echoes of Indiana Avenue. Welcome to my neighborhood, the Avenue. I grew up here, and each week I'll be sharing the sounds and stories of the people that made the Avenue great. Welcome back to the Avenue. On this week's show, we'll be observing Martin Luther King Jr. Day by listening to songs of peace, protest, and remembrance from the Avenue.
We shall overcome.
These are the words spoken by the late Dr. Martin Luther King. We've come a long way, but we got a long way to go.
That was the Indianapolis Gospel Act, The Wandering Travelers, with their tribute to Martin Luther King. That song was released in 1968 on the Blue Eagle label, a record company based out of the Blue Eagle nightclub, located at 701 Indiana Avenue. Up next, we'll hear music from the R&B vocalist Big Maybelle. She was born in Jackson, Tennessee in 1934. Big Maybelle had a deep connection to the Avenue. In 1943, she signed a deal with the Ferguson Brothers Talent Agency, a company owned by the Indiana Avenue entrepreneurs Denver and C. Ferguson. During the 1940s, Big Maybelle was a fixture on the Avenue scene, appearing at Avenue clubs like the Sunset Terrace and performing with local band leaders, including Joe Webb and Gene Pope. We'll listen to Big Maybelle's 1968 single, Heaven Will Welcome You, Dr. King.
It just don't seem real. That's all I can say. I can't believe Dr. King has passed away. To lose a great man like you, a lot seems like a great waste.
That was Big Maybelle with Heaven Will Welcome You, Dr. King. On this week's show, we're observing Martin Luther King Jr. Day by listening to songs of peace, protest, and remembrance from the Avenue. Dr. King was no stranger to Indiana Avenue. In December of 1959, King spoke in the Avenue neighborhood delivering a speech titled Remaining Awake Through a Revolution at the Fall Creek YMCA. King appeared on the Avenue as part of the Monster Meetings, a speaker series that began at the Senate Avenue YMCA in the early 1900s. America is in danger of producing guided missiles and misguided men, King said to the audience of 900. Up next, we'll hear from Claudia Pauley. She attended King's speech at the Fall Creek YMCA. Claudia is an Indianapolis-based vocalist and broadcaster who now serves as the president of the Urban Legacy Lands Initiative. Claudia spoke with WFYI's Kyle Long in November of last year.
There was one experience you had as a child that you shared with me that I did want to ask you about while we're here today. In March of 1959, Martin Luther King Jr. spoke at the then newly constructed Fall Creek YMCA, right?
Right.
You told me your parents or your mother thought it was important for you to be exposed to this, and you got to see Dr. King speak at the Fall Creek YMCA. What do you remember about that? Anything you want to share about that experience?
I remember that, well, one, Dr. King was an amazing personage, and his aura was astounding. Now, I was all of just 10 years old, even, I'm not even sure I had turned 10 at that point. And it was wonderful to look around at all the adults that were there and how intent they were at listening to what he had to say, because Indianapolis at that point was trying to figure out how it fit in this movement, this freedom movement that was happening in the United States. And Indianapolis was never out in front in terms of being rebellious, speaking of the word rebel. But the powers that be, who were all friends, either through church or through schools, had decided that it was time for Indianapolis to move forward. There should be a lot of the de facto segregation that was in place then needed to stop. And so having Dr. King there, having him there for a monster meeting at the newly opened Fall Creek YMCA was pretty extraordinary. And what I remember is the feeling. I remember a little bit about what he said, but it was the feeling of purpose that was in the room. It was the extraordinary feeling of the aura that he gave off from the stage that inspired all of us to do better and to figure out how we fit into this new world.
Yeah, it's wonderful your mom had the foresight to realize how important it would be for you to see this.
Yeah. It was my mom and my stepfather,
okay.
And both of them together. I mean, my stepfather was the one who made sure I started reading James Baldwin when I was like in fifth grade. Mm. Now, that's pretty adventurous, because James Baldwin is not exactly a, you know, PG-13 writer.
Yeah, it's adult reading.
Yeah. But it was what he had to say about how black folks needed to be. And that's what both of them instilled in not only me, but our world of parents and kids. And we were all going through it together, and it was wonderful. And that's why remembering Dr. King at Fall Creek Y was something. He also was at Cato Tabernacle, mm-hmm. and I think I remember going there, but I don't know. I'm old. I forget.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
That was Claudia Pauley sharing her memories of Dr. King's 1959 speech at the Fall Creek YMCA. Up next, we'll hear from the legendary trombonist Phil Renolin. He was born in Indianapolis in 1939. During the late 1960s, Renolin left Naptown for Detroit, where he co-founded The Tribe, a collective of jazz musicians that mixed music with activism. Renolin spoke with WFYI's Kyle Long in 2018.
And I did want to give you an opportunity to talk about your involvement with the Tribe, Collective in Detroit. I think that's one of the most unique and important movements in jazz history from my perspective. What you did in terms of not just being a record label, but being active activists in the community and kind of uniting your activism with music and with the publication of a magazine.
For us, it was like one and the same in a sense, you know, like we were doing the music and, you know, like trying to up, you know, bring the people, you know, Detroit was kind of depressed at that time because the uprising was still kind of, what year? It had been 3 or 4 years. But anyway, it was still like people were looking for something to build on. So Tribe come along at a time where we're able to actually provide work for people, too, through the, you know, the magazine and the record label, you know. So, and the record label, in a sense, ended up being a producer's alliance because everyone on the label, they had to really fund their own project, you know, because we weren't really a label per se. I mean, we're just kind of like an umbrella, you know, for people that creative, you know, had some good music that wanted to, didn't have an outlet for the music. We were there, you know, so I think Tribe presented a lot of pride for people that were in the community. You know.
Before you went to Detroit, had you kind of been in that scene at all in terms of political activism in Indianapolis? I can't remember exactly what year you told me you left, but I know there was a guy, Snooky Hendrix, and the Black Radical Action Project.
I knew Snooky.
Yeah, were you involved with any of those guys?
I was aware of Snooky. I knew Snooky. Yeah, I never was involved with that. I just. In my head, you know, like I was between Malcolm X and Martin Luther King, I guess, because I knew things weren't right, you know, and so I was trying to learn as much as I could about how to do my part of, you know, escalating the people, you know, and so through the music, I guess that's what I attempted to do. Raise the awareness, you know.
Yeah, you mentioned that the music and the activism, everything was kind of the same to you at that time. How did that manifest? Like, I know you told me you presented Angela Davis a copy of your record at a rally. Were you guys out playing at rallies? Were you getting involved beyond just the kind of performers?
We were, and I feel really very, very blessed that I was able to actually do that, you know. But yeah, we were doing those sort of things, and we did a lot of free concerts too, you know. It wasn't always about the money, you know. Of course, we needed money, you know, but when there was opportunity to do something to, you know, for a cause, we tried to do it, you know. I was also involved in a group, knowing you, you probably heard of this, the Grill Galaxy. Those guys were like, most everybody in the band pretty much was a Muslim except me, you know. But they were beyond Tribe. I mean, you know, they rarely had a gig that paid any money, but they would go play for free everywhere, you know. I use those guys, some of those guys on my record, Advice from the Tribe, on One Side, you know.
from 1972. This is Phil Ranelin with How Do We End All This Madness?
The water's so how do we end all of this madness? The answer's here, here for all our people to discover.
That was Phil Ranelin with How Do We End All This Madness? On this week's show, we're observing Martin Luther King Jr. Day by listening to songs of peace, protest, and remembrance from the Avenue. Up next, we'll listen to Color Me by People in the News, released on the Naptown Records label in 1970. But first, we'll hear from the song's author, Josephine Cheatham Manns. Color Me was written around the time of the Lockfield Rebellion, a riot that occurred on Indiana Avenue in June of 1969. Josephine spoke with WFYI's Kyle Long in 2021.
Well, at the time, like you said, so much was going on in our country, and the issue was your color. So when I thought about writing this song along with Jerry Miller, he was the lead guitar, and so he started to play. And so he would play and I would write. And so the song Color Me came about as a struggle, and I guess I wanted people to hear in music what was really happening. It was before, before Marvin Gaye's What's Going On. And so it was Color Me Red, Color Me Black, Color Me White. And when I got to the part, color all the people black and blue, that was the trauma that the people were receiving. And so that song had great meaning to me.
You're addressing poverty, yes. War, racial injustice.
Yes.
And, you know, I mentioned that around this time, the Lockfield Rebellion had happened on Indiana Avenue. It was around, I think, 69 or 70 yeah. that the Lockfield Rebellion happened. And I wondered if you remembered that incident and how that impacted you. They burnt down a grocery store, the Big Ten Market. A police officer was shot that night as well. So this was a very significant sort of uprising. Do you have memories of that?
I have vague memories of that, Kyle. All I know is that there were lots of police. There was lots of fire. There were lots of people in the street. There was lots of yelling, and you could hear the stress of it all. So my mom kind of hushed me away from that, so that I would not, you know, get so totally involved in it. But it was a very stressful time.
This is People in the News with Color Me.
Color me red!
Color me black!
Color me white!
Color the people!
In times of hunger, grabs your roses, color me wishing, color me hoping, color my body, dead and gone, color my people, moving on.
That was People in the News with Color Me, released on the Naptown Records label in 1970. Echoes of Indiana Avenue will return after this short break. This is Butch Slaughter, and you're listening to the Echoes of Indiana Avenue. On this week's show, we're observing Martin Luther King Jr. Day by listening to songs of peace, protest, and remembrance from the Avenue. Up next, we'll hear music from the jazz musician and composer David Baker, an icon of the Indiana Avenue music scene. We'll hear Baker's setting of the Maury Evans poem, A Good Assassination Should Be Quiet, written after the murder of Martin Luther King Jr. Evans lived in Indiana Avenue's Lockfield Gardens apartments. Was David Baker's setting of Maury Evans' 1968 poem, A Good Assassination Should Be Quiet, featuring vocals from Laura English Robinson. Up next, we'll hear four movements from David Baker's 1986 song cycle, Through This Veil of Tears, In Memoriam, Martin Luther King Jr., as performed by vocalist William Brown and the Lawrence Conservatory Contemporary Music Ensemble.
Thou dost lay me in the dust of death, yea, dogs are round about me. Dream.
We just heard four movements from David Baker's song cycle, Through This Veil of Tears, In Memoriam, Martin Luther King, Jr. Up next, we'll hear music from the Indianapolis funk band Amnesty. Amnesty were known for their socially conscious lyrics. We'll listen to their 1973 recording, Can I Help You?, which invokes the name of Martin Luther King. But first, let's listen back to a 2019 interview WFYI's Cal Long recorded with Amnesty's Raphael Barnes, Gino Johnson, and the late Joe Trotter.
I did want to ask about the group's lyrics, which were very socially conscious and are still just as relevant today as they were when you guys wrote this music almost 50 years ago, right? You have songs like Mr. President.
Right.
I was just thinking Mr. President. Mr. President when he said it.
If you keep treating people this way, you're going to chase them all away. That's one of the lines. Lord Help Me, a song about materialism and the cost of living.
Right.
The price of meat is getting almost as high as the dope in the street.
Correct.
One of the lines of Everybody Who Wants to Be Free, a song about race relations. You know, black and brown, they don't want us part of their society. Tell me about some of the things the group was singing about and the themes you were addressing through your music at the time.
I think our theme was people are people. Let people be people. Let people be who they are. Regardless, it was a time when we were playing out there in the 70s that we knew that this country was the greatest country in the world to be in. We knew it. You had opportunities to be whatever you wanted to be here. And we wanted to make sure that everybody knew that. And we would address issues in our song as politely as we could regarding political facts or world facts or just people in general. It was just that time, I guess.
Joe, do you have any thoughts on the group's lyrics? You were singing these lyrics every night. What did you make of these themes of these socially conscious themes that you were singing about?
I believed them. I believed in it. I believed the message. I felt like I'm telling you. I'm sending you a message to what's going on. We wrote about race, we wrote about infidelity. we wrote about the president.
I guess we wrote about life. The life that we saw, the
Mr.
life that
President
we lived.
Would go good right now because of Donald Trump.
Yes.
Go good for any of the presidents out there.
This is Amnesty with Can I Help You? Amnesty with Can I Help You? On this week's show, we've been observing Martin Luther King Jr. Day by listening to songs of peace, protest, and remembrance from the Avenue. We'll end with music from the legendary Naptown jazz drummer Killer Ray Appleton. In 1967, Killer Ray recorded a song in tribute to Dr. King with Alice and John Coltrane. From the album Cosmic Music, this is Reverend King. Thank you. That's all the time we have for this week. Thanks for tuning in to this special Martin Luther King Day edition of Echoes of Indiana Avenue. You can meet me here on the Avenue again next week, same time, same place. And you can find the Echoes of Indiana Avenue podcast on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you download your podcast. Echoes of Indiana Avenue is written and produced by Kyle Long and hosted and co-produced by me, Herman Butch Slaughter.
Nobody knows on uptown, baby, like I do. Nobody knows on uptown, baby, like I do. If you will stop and listen, I will tell you a thing or two.